man named John Cumming wrote a book, and one of the chapters of the book were signs of the second coming of Christ. And he gave 10 signs. I want to read just a few of them to you. We're talking about end times right now. So many people believe that the coming of Christ could be soon. We know the coming of Christ is imminent. It could be at any moment. We don't know necessarily that it's soon. It may be this year. It may be 10 years from now. Many people believe, though, it's going to be very soon. Here's some of the reasons he gave. Number one, he believes that one half of the professors of Christ, one half of the people professing to know Christ as Savior, and he uses the word, he says, are nothing better than practical infidels, meaning that there are so many people in the world professing to know Christ and really do not know Christ. In Matthew 7, it says, when Christ comes, many, many people will say, I did all these things in your name, and Christ will say, depart from me, I never knew you. So the Bible teaches that many people who think they're going to heaven will not go to heaven. And maybe towards these end times or during this time in history, that number or that percentage is even higher than it's been before. He gave us a second reason, selfishness and in the increase of sin. Another one he gave was a hope of the Jews for a national home. Another one was men's effort at self-regeneration, an increase of people wanting to earn their way to heaven, an increase of knowledge, an increase in Satan's activity, great judgments upon the earth, natural catastrophes, things like that. And then finally, a growth in apathy and unbelief concerning the second coming. Many people believing that you've been talking about this for all this time, Christ has never come, and they begin to scoff at the fact that people are talking about the coming of Christ. But this man just said he thinks one of the signs that the coming is near is that there are many more people scoffing at the whole idea and saying, where is he? He hadn't come, he's not coming, and being apathetic towards it. I'll tell you, if there's anything in the world you and I want to be ready for, tonight is the second coming of Christ. Because it says in Thessalonians, we should not be surprised. He shouldn't catch us like a thief in the night, that we should be prepared for the coming of Christ. Now, I want you to turn to Revelation chapter 12. We've been going through some different things in the last 3 weeks. We've done the rapture and the bema judgment seat, the appearance of the Antichrist and the false prophet. We've done the great harlot church and the revised Roman Empire and the seven-year peace covenant, peace pact that the Antichrist signs with Israel. We did the 144,000 witnesses last week, the rebuilding of the temple, and the ministry of the two witnesses in Revelation. And tonight I want to do the war in heaven and also do the seven-seal judgment. And I know we're moving quickly, but in Revelation chapter 12, verse 7, speaking about war in heaven, it says, and there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon. The dragon would be Satan. And the dragon fought and his angels and prevailed not, neither was their place found any more in heaven. Now, Satan has access to heaven today. And the Bible calls him, in a couple verses we're going to read here, where it says, Satan is the accuser of the brethren. Now, none of us know, but if we had to guess, where is Satan right now? He's probably at the throne of God accusing you or some other believer of their sin. He is the accuser of the brethren. He is a hater of Christ, hater of Israel, a hater of Christian people, a hater of the church. Probably, if you say, where is he most often? Job chapter 1 gives a very clear picture of Satan being at the throne of God, accusing Job of sin. Verse 9, and the great dragon was cast out. Now watch the different names that God gives to Satan here. First, he calls him the great dragon. And he'd be called the great dragon with the idea that he is the one that will ultimately, he is over the great empire of the end times. And then it says that old serpent, the old serpent takes Satan all the way back to the Garden of Eden. And then it says that old serpent called the devil. Devil meaning slandering, defaming. Again, accuser of the brethren. And then it says, and Satan. Satan means he's our adversary. The word Satan means adversary. It's used 14 times in the book of Job. He's our adversary. And it says, and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world, he was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. So Satan is cast out of the third heaven. We have the heaven that the birds fly in, and the second heaven would be the stars and the moon and the sun, and then the third heaven being the heaven where Christ is. He will still have access to the second heaven and the first heaven. He will no longer have access to the throne of God and to God himself. Verse 10, and I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. How often does he do it? Day and night. Day and night he's accusing the brethren. I'll tell you what. I think if we got a good grasp on the way Satan hates us and accuses us, we'd do a lot less accusing of one another. We'd be a lot less critical of other Christian people and other churches and other pastors and other Christian people. We'd do a lot less if we realize there's someone accusing us all the time that hates us. We have an enemy, folks, and that enemy is the old serpent, the devil, Satan, the great dragon. Verse 11, well, they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death. Therefore rejoice, ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and to the seal and of the sea, for the devil is come down unto you, having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time. Satan knows the word of God, and Satan knows when he's cast out of heaven that the time is going to be short. And he'll come to this earth with great wrath and great anger to cause trouble here on earth. If you want to, turn back to Daniel chapter 12. It's a parallel verse. Daniel chapter 12, verse 1. The Bible says, and at that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince which standeth for the children of thy people, and there shall be time of trouble, such as never was since there was a nation, even to that same time. And at that time thy people shall be delivered, every one that shall be found written in the book. So the war in heaven. Now, I want you to turn to Matthew chapter 24. And what we're going to read in Matthew 24 tonight is what we're going to talk about for the rest of the night, the seven seal judgments. In Matthew 24, now let's just do a quick timeline. Here we are today. Next event that's going to take place is the rapture of the church when Christ comes, takes all Christians home. All Christians home. And then we don't know how long a time, but probably a short time in there. There'll be a short interval, and then the Antichrist will raise up, and the Antichrist will sign a 7-year peace treaty with Israel, guaranteeing them peace. And then you'll have the beginning of the tribulation period, and there will be great wrath from God poured out on earth. And you're going to see some of that tonight. Great wrath will be poured out by God, and there'll be trouble on this earth like it has never been before. And then in the middle of that 3.5 year, in the middle of the 7-year peace treaty, the Antichrist will break the peace treaty, and he'll go into Jerusalem and declare that he is God and demand to be worshipped as God. And then it just gets, the 7-year tribulation just gets worse and worse and worse until you get to the second coming of Christ, the battle of Armageddon, and then the second coming of Christ. And at the second coming of Christ, the unsaved soldiers and all will be destroyed in the Valley of Megiddo. And then Christ will gather up the Jews from around the world. He'll bring them to Israel, take them into the wilderness south of Jerusalem, and he'll plead with Israel that he is the Messiah. And will you come? It says some of the Jews will not accept him. And when they reject him, they'll be banished. And then the whole nation remaining of Israel will come to Christ as Savior. And then they'll live for 1,000 years in the millennial period, 1,000 years where Christ literally rules and reigns himself. And as a believer in Christ tonight, if you're a believer in Christ, you will return with him at the second coming, and you will rule and reign with Christ here on this earth during that 1,000 years. And then at the end of the 1,000 years, Satan, which has been bound since the second coming, will be released, and he will gather all the people who were born during the millennium but did not get saved. He'll gather them, and then instantly Christ will defeat them. And then we'll be ushered in the great white throne judgment, where the masses, the multitudes of people, all the unsaved people in the history of the world, will stand before Christ at the great white throne judgment. And it's not to determine that they're not saved, because the only ones there will be those that are unsaved. It is to determine how severe the penalty will be in hell, which Bible, Luke chapter 12, gives pretty good indication that hell will not be the same for everyone. Hell's going to be a place of torment for everybody, a place of being alone for everybody, and on and on. But it will be even more severe for those who live more wicked lives.